Amen. Hey, last week I started talking to you about the story of Abraham and his encounter with God. And so we're going to continue on that this morning. Abraham was 75 years old, and he was a Bedouin, sheep herder, warrior type guy in the Middle East. And he has an encounter with God when he's 75 years old. Then from 75 to 99, all this time goes by, and then God shows up in Abraham's life when he's 99 years old, and he wants to reveal himself to Abraham. He wants Abraham to understand who he is and what his character is. Now, this is so critical. It's so important that you understand this. God wanted to reveal to him who he was, and he wants to do the very same thing in your life. Listen to me. How you view God, who you think God is, what you think God does, it's just huge in your life because it'll affect your walk with God, really, for the rest of your life. So God shows up in Abraham's life, and he talks to him, and I'm going to read to you. We read it last week. I'm going to go to Genesis 17:1, and I'm only going to read the first two verses, and I'm not going to read everything I read last week. When Abram was 99 years old, and we found out last week that God changed his name to Abraham, the Lord appeared to him. He appeared to Abraham, and he said, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless." The King James says, "Be perfect." Now, the perfect there in King James, that word means to be mature. Okay, can I tell you what God wants from you? He wants you to pursue him. Okay, God is waiting to be wanted. Don't miss that. God is a lot like a woman. He wants to be pursued. Gentlemen, if you're married, you know how when you date your wife, you pursue her, you work all day. You get home, you wash your car, your truck, you clean it up inside and out. It doesn't have a speck of dust on it anywhere, even though you've worked all day. You go pick her up, you take her out, you have all this energy, and you go out to eat, and you go to the movie, and you go find some place. Now, this is in the old days. You go find some place to park and make out, and you stay out till 1 or 2 in the morning, and you don't say, "Man, I'm really give out, you know. I'm tired and I don't feel good and I want to go home and go to bed." No, you don't do that till after you get married, right? Yeah, your wife comes in and says, "Honey, you want to go to picnic?" "No, I'm really tired. I worked all day." All right, you stop pursuing her. Okay, now I'm not preaching on marriage this morning, but I want to throw this out. Don't admit, this is true. The moment you stop pursuing your wife, she begins to wither. God wants to be pursued. God wants you to want him. God wants a relationship with you. He tells Abraham, "Be perfect." He doesn't mean don't make any mistakes. What he means is if you'll come after me, I want to be Almighty God in your life. Let me continue to read. "Walk before me and be blameless. I'll make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." God makes a covenant with Abraham that is everlasting. It never ends. And that covenant belongs to you and I. We talked about it in detail last week, and I'm going to talk about it some more this morning. Here's what God said to Abraham. "I'm Almighty God." Now, don't miss this, church. You know what he says? "I'm it. I'm it. There is none other besides me. There are no other gods." I love the song we did this morning, the second song, I believe. And there's a phrase in that song, and it says, "You have no rival. You have no equal." Oh, I just love that phrase in that song. Talking about Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said, "All power in heaven and earth belongs to me." All power in heaven and earth. I bet some of you in here know what the yin-yang symbol is. I may not be saying it correctly. It's that little round circle, and it's half black and half white, and it looks like two little teardrops, and then each one has a little circle in it. Well, that's from a Middle Eastern religion, and the reference of that is this, that the universe is held in balance by good and evil, and that there's equal forces of good, there's equal forces of evil, and that the universe has to keep itself in balance so there's not too much evil or not too much good. Let me say something to you. That is a lie. Okay, that is a lie. It is not true. Okay, Jesus has all power. The Bible says that all things are upheld by his power. Now, can I just chase a rabbit real quick about the yin-yang symbol? Listen, you don't want any of those false religion symbols in your life. You don't want them hanging in your car. You don't want them at your house. Listen, you don't want to put up Tibetan prayer flags, even though they may look pretty and are cute different colors, because all of that stuff has a demon spirit on it. Then it's the spirit of Antichrist. And if you know, when I was a kid growing up, my mom had a little Buddha in our house. We were Christians. We were in church, you know, but she just did it for a decoration. Listen, it's not wise to have that stuff in your life because it's not God, and it draws darkness and it draws oppression. See, that yin-yang symbol is a lie. God told Abraham, I'm Almighty God. Now, that's the English translation. What do we find out? We found out that the original language is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Now, what does that mean? God told Abraham, I'm the all-sufficient one. I am more than enough. Now, don't miss this. Yeah, amen. Isn't it powerful? He told him, I have everything you need. I'm not chinchy. I'm not stingy. I'm not tight. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm not angry. I'm not unhappy. I'm none of those things. Who I am is El Shaddai, and I'm more than enough. I'm the all-sufficient one. Now, what's he doing? He's revealing to Abraham who he is. And he tells him, Abraham, I'm cutting a covenant with you, not a contract, a covenant. And that covenant is going to be everlasting. It's never going to end. And if you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, you are part of that covenant. God's revealing himself to Abraham, and he wants to do the very same thing in your life. I want to go to Hebrews this morning, chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We talked about this verse this last year, so it may be familiar to you. Listen to what it says. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I did a whole series on faith. What did we find out? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is absolutely the only way you get faith. It is the only way you build your faith. It is the only way you strengthen your faith. How, Pastor? By hearing God's word. You know what you're doing this morning? You're hearing God's word. You know what you're doing? You're feeding your faith, which pleases God, and you're starving your doubts. Every time you're in church that preaches the Bible, okay, listen, if you go to a church that doesn't preach the Bible, you're wasting your time. If you go to a church that never mentions the name of Jesus, you're wasting your time. But when you go into a Bible-believing church, when you read your Bible for yourself, when you pray for yourself, you pray, I don't mean for yourself personally, and that's okay to do that, but when you pray, you pray. You don't have somebody else praying for you, you're praying. You build your faith. Then this verse is right here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Listen, you're pleasing God this morning because you're hearing the word and it's building your faith. Let me keep reading. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, what did God tell Abraham? He said, I'm El Shaddai. Thank you, baby, for raising your hand. I like that. I got Power Kids kids. I can answer. I know what he said. Amen. That's good. Thank you. You blessed me for doing that. There's something else that happened this morning. Is right up here on the front row, I'm singing and worshiping God, and I can hear the voices of children behind me singing the songs that we're singing. And it so blessed me and so ministered to me. I don't know which one it was, or all probably all of you, yeah, right there. There you go. Go ahead. It was me, man. It was me, Pastor. Amen. Come on. Amen. That's our Power Kids kids. Amen. So God told Abraham what? He said, I'm all sufficient. He wanted to reveal himself to Abraham. He wants to reveal himself to you. Okay, the God of Abraham is your God. The God of Abraham is your God. He told Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. He's telling you, if you'll seek me, if you'll pursue me, if you'll come after me, I will reward you. God, I love that so much. You like rewards? You dang right I do. Yeah, I like rewards. I like it. Who doesn't like rewards? He said, I will reward you. All right, all you got to do is what? Pursue him. So God wants to reveal himself to you. Now listen, I really want you to understand something important. You cannot look to the culture or to the world we live in to understand who God is. Okay, the culture is broken. Our world is broken because of sin. Listen, you can't watch the nightly news. You can't look on Facebook. You can't look on Twitter to try to decide who God is because you won't find it there. Listen, you can't talk to a friend. Now, if a friend points you to God's word, hey, that's great. But if they have their own opinions and ideas that are contrary to God's word, you're not going to find out who the true God is. You can't go by your experiences. Listen, I've had some wonderful experiences in my life. I mean, I could spend the rest of the service talking about my marriage and my children and my grandchildren. I have amazing experiences, but I've also had some terrible experiences. I've had some hellacious experiences, and I know that every one of you are the very same way. Listen, I can't look at my experiences to figure out who God is. Because some are good and some are bad. So see, you don't want to do that. How do you do it then, Pastor? You go to God's word. God will reveal himself to you in the scripture. You see, the story of Abraham is to help you see who God is. To help you see that he is El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the one who wants to meet every need. He's more than enough. He wants you to know that if you'll pursue him, he'll reveal himself to you and he'll reward you. Now, we're going to go again to Galatians this morning. Galatians chapter 3. Let me see how I'm doing on time. I got a little bit left. Galatians 3:13. We read this last week. Let me read it to you again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the word redeem means to purchase. Listen to me. You're not under a curse. Okay, now he's talking about the Moses covenant that God made with Moses. Now, do you remember last week, what did we talk about? There's Noah's covenant, there's Abraham's covenant, there's Moses' covenant, there's David's covenant, and there's the new covenant. Okay, what's the sign of Noah's covenant? Well, of course, it's the rainbow. And what did God say? God said, every time you see a rainbow, no, I keep my word and I keep my promises. So, of course, what did we find out? What does the devil want to do? Well, he wants to steal it. Right? He wants to steal it. Okay, but it doesn't belong to the devil. Okay, the Bible says that when God looks at the heathen, you know what he does? He laughs. He laughs. Listen, when the heathen raises their fist and they shake their fist in the face of God, you know what the Bible says God does? He laughs. He laughs. Have you ever seen that rainbow flag and it has a fist in the middle of it? Signifying, God, you're not telling me what to do. Well, God laughs. Now, I grew up in a different time than probably the majority of you. A few of you are close to my age. And one of the disciplines when I was growing up was you'd get a spanking. Okay, I didn't get grounded. They didn't take away my iPad. I didn't have no iPad, right? And they didn't take away anything from me except a little bit of flesh off my butt, okay? And so I would get a whipping. And so when my dad, and I had a good dad, all right, and I'm not downplaying, I don't want you to think otherwise about my father. He was a good, caring father, but he was also strict. And when I acted up and I acted out and I acted up and I acted out a lot, okay, you know, I'm the ADHD kid before ADHD meds, okay? I was that kid, you know what I mean? And the only medication my dad knew was to give you a spanking. And it worked good. It worked good, all right? And if it didn't work, he would double the dose, okay? You know? And so it worked good, all right? But every time he would give me a spanking, he would kind of laugh. And I know that sounds terrible. You think, God, what a terrible dad. But I don't know why he laughed. I don't know if he was nervous or I don't know why. But he would always kind of laugh when he would discipline me. Then when he would get done, he would hug me and, hey, I love you and I care about you. And, hey, don't do that anymore. And I wouldn't do it for about 5 minutes and then I would do it again. You know what I mean? But he would kind of laugh. Okay, the Bible says that when God looks at the heathen, he laughs. Listen to me. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen? God made a covenant with Abraham. And he said in Galatians, you've been purchased and you're no longer under a curse. You're not under the curse of the law. In the old covenant, see, if you did what God said, you were blessed. If you didn't do what he said, you were cursed. But Jesus took that curse. He became a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's a reference to the cross, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I want to show you three things in this verse, and I want to start with the bottom. It says that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The way Abraham was made right with God is it said he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You and I do the very same thing. We believe the story of the gospel. We believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for us. We believe the good news. And we're not accounted as righteous. We are made righteous. Now, when did Abraham become righteous? He was accounted to him until Jesus died and rose from the dead. He was made righteous the same way you're made righteous, by the blood of the Lamb. Then it says you're redeemed from the curse. That's talking about the covenant God made with Moses. I mentioned it already. If you obey, you're cursed. Now, don't miss this. This is so important. I know so many people who struggle with this. If you've ever thought when something bad happens in your life that you've done something wrong, then you're living under that curse. If you think, oh, man, you know, man, this has happened to me, and I wonder what I did wrong. I wonder what I did to tick off God. I had somebody say one time, you know, if you don't give money at church, well, God will cause your car to break down. Right? Okay, and maybe you've had people say that to you. I don't know. That is not true. That's not who God is. Okay, you know, if you don't give in the offering, your washer and dryer are going to bust. Right? The reason they bust is because you put too many towels in them at one time. Amen? And when that thing's on spin cycle, it's dancing through the laundry room, right? And you wonder why it breaks, okay? It's not God, amen? That's not how God is. You're not under a curse. You get the blessing, and I'm going to read them to you in just a minute. You get the blessing, but you don't get the curse. Then he said, the blessings of Abraham belong to you. What did God tell Abraham? He said, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to multiply you, and I'm going to bless you everywhere you go. And those who bless you, I'm going to bless, and those who curse you, I'm going to curse. The blessing of Moses belongs to you, and the blessings of Abraham belongs to you. Now, let me read down here and read you another verse. Let me go to Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I talked about this last week. If you'd like to hear what I said about that, you can listen to last week's message on our website, tcf.church. If you are Christ's, listen to that, if you are Christ's, only you know if you belong to Christ. I know I belong to Christ. I know I do. I know Miss Vicky belongs to Christ because we've accepted him into our life. If you are Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The blessings of Abraham belong to you. The blessings of Moses belong to you. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28 in the Old Testament, and I want to read you just a few of the blessings of Moses that belong to you. Let me read it to you. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands, which I've commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Then he starts with the blessing. These belong to you. Verse 2, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Whoa, stop right there. I want me some of that. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. My children are blessed, and my grandchildren are blessed, and my great-grandchildren are blessed. I don't even have any yet, but they're blessed, amen? Because God's word says they're blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Now, you may say, well, hey, Pastor, I don't have any flocks or cattle or any land. Yeah, but I bet you got a job. I bet you got a savings account. I bet you got a checking account. What God says is, I'm going to bless your life. If you got cattle, I'm going to bless them. If you got a job, I'm going to bless it. If you've got a savings account, I'm going to bless it. Let me keep reading. Blessed shall you shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now stop right there. That's a refrigerator verse. Y'all know what a refrigerator verse is? Yeah, you know, you get you a 3x5 card and you write it down and you tape it on the refrigerator. So every time you go and get something out of the refrigerator, and I spend most of my time at the refrigerator, yeah, right? Right? You know, maybe you ought to tape it on your phone. I don't know. But every time you see it, listen to it. This is so good. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I believe that covers everything, doesn't it? The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. And you may think, well, Pastor, I don't have any enemies. You've got one. His name's the devil. And he hates you. And he hates your children. And he's an equal opportunity hater. You do have an enemy. And it says right here that when he tries to come against you, the Lord will cause the devil who rises against you to be defeated before your face. He'll come against you one way and he'll flee seven. Now, these are the blessings of the law of Moses. And if you know Jesus is your Savior, they belong to you. What if this week, as you went through your week, you said, Father, I so thank you, you're El Shaddai. You're my El Shaddai. You're my daddy. And you're everything I need. You're my all-sufficient one. You're more than enough in my marriage. You're more than enough with my kids. You're more than enough with my grandkids. You're more than enough in my job and my business. Lord, my future's okay because you're my El Shaddai. Yeah, it'd change everything. Amen? When you begin to acknowledge who God is in your life, God, you said you'd reward me. And Lord, I'm pursuing you. Now, listen, here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to show up and say, yeah, but you're not pursuing enough. That's what he wants to do. And I bet you've heard that. Yeah, you're not doing enough. You're not praying enough. You're not reading enough. You're not giving enough. That is a lie. Listen to me. When you turn your heart toward God, he promised to reward you. He promised to be El Shaddai. He promised to be more than enough in your life. He promised to go above and beyond what you could dare ask, hope, or think, because he's El Shaddai. Y'all stand up. Let me pray for you. Praise God. The Lord's good. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you this morning. Lord, I'm so humbled to be on this stage. I'm so humbled to be on this platform. I'm so humbled, God, that these folks would come in here and they would sit and listen to me. And Father God, I pray your grace on them. Lord, that you would be El Shaddai in their lives. You would be a rewarder in their lives. And yet you are more than enough. Father, I pray grace. I pray strength. I pray peace. Lord, reveal yourself to us like never before, that we would be strong in our faith towards you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, I love you. God bless you.